So did you figure out that the little things in life are what matter?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Did you know that a little will go a long way?
Yes, I know that.
Okay, beautiful. So I'll preach about that instead. Yes, it really does matter. Every little thing in our life, when you really think about it, many things start out small, do they not? Little, yes. Correct? Even the history of the early church, 12 disciples and Jesus, 13 people essentially created all what we have today. Christ the Cornerstone Church started with 12 people, interestingly enough, and look at where we are today, 30 years later, right? A little goes a long way. But I'm not talking about just those kind of things that start small and move and get big, because sometimes, you know, all the things in our life that we think are big may or may not be that important, right?
Right.
So we have to always align ourselves with that. But essentially what God wants us to understand is this, that a little bit of love goes a long way. Just a little bit. Every little bit of love and act of love that we put out there goes farther than you could ever dream or imagine. And that's why Jesus Christ came, because God so loved the world that he sent his son, right? One little thing, one man, one big thing happened, did it not? Yeah. Our eternal life. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, a simple illustration of what the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven, either way you want to interpret that. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in the 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." So a little bit of Jesus, just a little bit of the Holy Spirit, a little bit of who God is in your life, in your heart, in your mind, it permeates, it's designed to permeate the entire body, as well as the entire body of believers, but also it permeates the rest of the world, does it not?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And so being that I'm not a cook and I don't know how to make bread, I had to look some things up about this yeast. Because he was referring, you know, very often Jesus used practical application in his teachings. We know them as parables, but sometimes he was pretty direct. Around Jesus all the time were wheat fields. There were barley fields. He constantly had bread with the disciples and fed people with bread, right? And fish, exactly, right?
Yes.
The poor had barley and the rich had wheat. And so the barley was for animals, but the wheat was for people, the best kind of food. So Jesus used the parable of bread and yeast to help people understand that even if we're poor, poor in spirit, even if we're a barley loaf to begin with, so to speak, spiritually speaking, and we're poor in spirit, as he spoke of that on the Mount of Olives, by adding the yeast of Christ, the yeast of God into you, you expand and grow. And the interesting thing about yeast and bread, it's that 1/2 teaspoon of yeast in a cup of flour. 1/2 teaspoon, that's not much, is it?
No.
In a cup of flour makes a big loaf of bread. Yeast mixes with the flour, and it actually begins to absorb part of the sugars and pulls it out. And then it turns it into another ingredient, carbon dioxide, which causes the bread to expand. It's a slow process, however. It takes time. So if you're ever going to bake bread, unless you're one of those fancy bread makers that you can buy for not a lot of money, you can add other types of yeast that are quick acting. Don't get the same flavor or aroma, however, from purely yeast. So sometimes there's even the yeast we use, even the things we look at in our spiritual lives, because this is about spirituality, right? Even though we're using a physical example. In us, when the yeast of Christ gets in us, for those of us that are born again, when Jesus gets in, that's the yeast. And what happens? Some of the things inside of us, right, start stirring up and get changed around. And that yeast absorbs those negative things and takes them out of us and converts it into the power of God. Then we expand spiritually, don't we?
Yes.
And it's a slow process sometimes, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
But most of us want instant results, don't we?
Yeah.
We want microwave bread. We want to use that self-rising yeast that I looked up and saw that you could put in. It does it on its own. But it doesn't make the bread grow evenly or as big as their natural yeast. Interesting, right? So sometimes we can put in our lives those things that we think are going to work for us, or we're going to do it on our own. Those are those of us that think we're self-rising. I got this on my own. I can do it without the power of God. I can do it without the Holy Spirit. I can do it. You get short-term, small results, though, don't you?
Yes.
Not the same as what having Christ in you all the time, moving in you, taking some things out of you, absorbing those things in us that are not of God. Because let's be honest, right? All of us humans have that human nature, don't we?
Yes.
And it's not the godly nature, is it? We know that we see that throughout Scripture. But Jesus came in order to put his Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, meaning set apart, so that we can not only be human and still be in this human body, but become spiritual in nature and grow spiritually.
Spread the love.
Spread the love. Thank you. So Jesus spoke of this so that the disciples and all of us could understand that even if you do one small thing differently on a given day that brings in God into your life, are you going to grow?
Yeah.
Yes. So sometimes we think we're going to do everything all at once, right? But maybe each of us are different. Different things in each and every one of us need to get out of our life, don't they?
Yes.
And some of us who have addictions, we need God to come in us and absorb those things that were the cause of some of the reasons we were addicted. The pleasure center of our brain needs to get short-circuited so that we no longer have addictions that are harmful to us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It takes things out of us and throws them away. And then we can grow spiritually. God is the carbon dioxide of our lives. Another example would be like adding helium, right? That way you can soar that much higher. So there's an example of how simple it is. See, sometimes Christianity gets a little complicated, doesn't it? And many of us struggle with change, don't we? Or wanting to change and maybe not getting there. Here's the point. If you ever want to change anything in your life for the better, to be more godly and God-like, get involved even a small way with God. Whether it's a prayer you make, whether it's a daily devotion you start, whether it's coming to Bible studies, whether it's just serving God in some way, whether it's just sitting and just absorbing who God is and Christ is, reading the scriptures and seeing what God wants of us, and letting the Holy Spirit, who was sent on Pentecost, to Gentiles and Jews alike, to indwell us all. We have the yeast of Christ within us.
Amen.
I don't know if that, well, that's kind of scriptural. That's how we can grow. That's how we can grow. Now, I always like to contrast things because we know we have an adversary, right? Who's also fighting against us, correct? Good and evil are often at battle even within our own minds sometimes. But this is just equally as true, that whatever things that come into us that are of a negative nature, thoughts, misinformation, lies, condemnation, you name it, those also can permeate us, can't they, in the mind?
Yes.
And then it begins to essentially contaminate what's inside of us, right?
Right.
And that's why we need, at that point, even more of Christ. Because he's the great thorough-outer of those things. All right. Matthew chapter 16, we see this play out in the scriptures. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means fall weather tomorrow. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky. but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Then Jesus left them and went away. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. Watch out, Jesus warned them. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, and he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with five loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with seven loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I'm not talking about bread? I'm talking about yeast." Oh, I added that. Oh, so again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast in bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So what do we see here? The Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees were the teachers of religious law. They were the ones that went around pointing out fingers, making sure you obeyed the law. And if you didn't, you were in big trouble. The Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. So they were teaching there was no resurrection of the dead. So these two groups, religious leaders, were going around condemning people. And if you want to read about the Pharisees, how they brought the adulterous woman to Jesus, remember? Threw her down at his feet because she had committed adultery, wanted her stoned to death, right?
Yeah.
Condemnation. Jesus said what? Said, go and sin no more, your sins are forgiven, right? You see the difference between the yeast of the Pharisees, the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead? That's what they were teaching the people. Do you see the problem with religious leaders who don't speak the truth? They bring yeast, the wrong kind of yeast. Yeast that will spread throughout all the dough, right? Misinformation. Jesus spoke of the fact that he would give them a sign of Jonah. You remember Jonah and the whale? We all know that story even from when we were children. There's two things about Jonah. One, he was in the whale 3 days, correct? And then God plopped him out. And then he went to Nineveh. And then there, God forgave the people of Nineveh. See the second part of why Jonah was sent out of the whale again? So he could go to Nineveh to do what? Forgive and save people, redeem people. That was the sign that Jesus would show. Yes, he'd be in the tomb 3 days. So he was speaking to the Sadducees, in 3 days I'll rise again. God's going to throw me out of the tomb. And I'm going to bring redemption and eternal life and be resurrected. So he was speaking also to the Sadducees in that moment. You see how so often we get taught things by religious people that are absolutely untrue, wrong. If there's condemnation, if there's judgment, if there's lack of mercy, that does not come from God. Doesn't mean people aren't teaching it, though, does it? That's why Jesus told the disciples, here's the thing, they're following Jesus, they're students of Jesus, they're learning about what? Love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, God's abundance. God can feed anyone with, give me seven loaves, give me five loaves, give me no loaves, I can feed people. He was shown miraculous power of sustenance and provision for others. When the Pharisees always thought and the Sadducees always thought you had to follow the law in order to be blessed by God. But who did God bless? Everyone he came into contact with. And particularly for Jesus, he often fed the people with barley loaves, the bread of the poor. But when he put it in his hands, it became the wheat. The wheat that's good for humans, the love that's good for humans. You see that? He was the first fruit of one resurrected. That's also a harvest time, which is what we see at Pentecost. The 50 weeks after the harvest. The barley harvest happened right after Passover, the day after Passover. That would be Easter Sunday, wouldn't it? That's when the barley rose. That's when they celebrated. That's why the Jews from all over the world were in Jerusalem 50 days after Jesus resurrected. And then on the day of Pentecost, Jesus came by the power of the Holy Spirit upon the Jews and the Gentiles alike, because he was the wheat. He was that last harvest. And he was bringing everything that's good for people that day, the Holy Spirit. See how the Old and the New Testament connect? But more importantly is this. Any small thought that you have, any small belief that you hold that is not of the truth, can it and will it spread throughout your entire life?
It can, sure.
Here's the other flip side of that, the thing that Jesus said, right? Matthew 13. Any little bit of God in your life put into your heart and into your mind will permeate your entire life and the lives of others around you. When the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, that was so the gospel could be spread throughout the world. Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said, you're going to take these words, and as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance and gives you the knowledge to speak, you're going to go throughout the world, beginning in Jerusalem, that there's forgiveness of sins, that you need to repent and be baptized, and that you'll have eternal life in Jesus Christ, and your life will expand from there. One little thing, the Holy Spirit came. Changed the world forever, did it not?
Yes.
Question is, how much has it changed you? First step always is, do you have Jesus Christ in your heart? First question. If you don't, you need to see one of us pastors. And we'll get him in there. We have the yeast. Trust me. We have the yeast. And actually, it's just a simple process. You may or may not even need us. All you have to say is, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. And the Holy Spirit comes then, because that's how that's how God and Jesus Christ is actually manifested today, to be in us. And once the Holy Spirit gets in there, you better watch out. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to change drastically, phenomenally. The things you used to love before that didn't matter, the things that got you upset, or the other things that you used to do, all of a sudden you don't even want to do those things anymore. You want to do things that God would have you do. You want to smile more. You want to love more. You want to give more. You want to share more. You want to study more. You want to hug more. You want to love 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 more. That's what draws people to God, though. We don't draw people to God by condemning them or judging them. Right? That's the Pharisaical style of yeast, which Jesus said, beware of. So if there's anything in you, when you find out that you're judging someone, and we all can judge, right? What are you wearing that shirt for? Oh, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I was looking at him, I was looking at him. Oh. Oh, you wearing plaid? I like plaid. Okay. Is that judging? Now, if I did it in a different way and said, oh, I love the way that looks on you. Different, isn't it? Right? Little things sometimes that we say, the unkind words we speak, thinking it's harmless, can hurt people. Little arrows of sarcasm can pierce the heart of someone. It can stay with them for days, weeks, and years. You never know. Some people can turn away from God so suddenly because of something we, the church, do to someone else. Something we neglect to do. And many times it's unintentional, right?
Right.
But if we're more intentional about adding good to our lives in terms of what we think and what we say and thinking before we say anything by the power of the Holy Spirit, and as you grow, let the Christ Spirit expand in you, before you know it, you say less and less of those things you used to say. Even for those of us that grew up in homes where things were not always peaceful, always maybe in strife or in chaos, does that mean we have to live that way now?
No.
What do we have to do?
Change.
Just add a little bit of Jesus. A little bit of Jesus. Oh, I wish I could hand out teaspoons of Jesus this morning. Or maybe some of you, I'd really rather give you a gallon of Jesus. And maybe I need a whole, you know, a refrigerator loaded full of Jesus, right? Of spiritual living water, right? It's all different for all of us, is it? Here's the thing. As equally powerful as positivity is and thinking like Christ would have us think, the power of negative thoughts, the power of evil that comes upon us all that we see in this world today, it's spewing out at us daily, moments by moments by moments, right?
Yes.
That can get in where? Your head and your heart. And before you know it, that begins to grow too. So beware of the yeast, of the talking heads that are on television. Beware of the yeast of people trying to tell us that we cannot have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Bold-faced lie, not in the Word of God whatsoever, right?
Yep.
The thoughts you think, positive or negative, we have them, don't we?
Yes.
If you're thinking negative thoughts once in a while, every so many years, that's okay. But if you find yourself dwelling on things of your past that are bad or wrong, or you feel guilty about, that's negative. That's the Pharisees wanting to condemn you. That's Satan trying to bring you down, right? Rob, kill, and destroy your spirit. What do you have to do when that starts?
Get some more yeast.
Get some more yeast. Get some more yeast. Get into prayer. Ask God to take over your mind. Take captive your thoughts. To help you change your focus. Now, I know every once in a while when we have trouble, we get a little on the little, what's the word? Freak outside. Panic.
Anxious.
Worrisome. When that happens, what are you going to do?
Cry.
Right. And after you've cried, see, it only takes a little, it only takes maybe one other person helping that person pray with them, right? Or helping shift their focus, right? Or you going to God in that moment and saying, God, help me through this situation. I know you fed 4,000 people with just 7 loaves and 2 fish. Take care of the situation in my life. You see what I'm saying? Use the power of who Christ is in your own life so that the pharisaical thoughts, that kind of yeast, doesn't permeate you. Because before you know it, some people live an existence and a life of negativity, don't they? You know, some people lighten up a room when they walk in. Some people lighten up a room when they walk out. But we, the lights of the world, we're here to lighten people's loads, right?
Yep.
We're here to lift people's burdens, right?
Yep.
We're here to cheer people up, right? Yep. We're here to tell people the good news. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God will never stop loving you. And your salvation is secure because of what Jesus did on the cross. He rose from the dead, so you have nothing to fear. You'll be in heaven, the heavenly realms with him. And you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Lots of yeast in here, baby. If my spiritual growth is like the growth that I have from eating bread, wouldn't that be awesome to see? Because you see it in the fruit, right? We see it in the fruit. Here's the thing. Every little thing that you do that get you closer to God. A song you play that you play in your head or you play in your car on the radio. You put it on your television at home. You can phones, tablets. There's so many ways to put God in, right, into your mind on a daily basis. Scriptures that you put, or words that you put on your mirror in the morning. Something that you read when you sit down that's a potential positive saying that you believe in that comes even from the Word of God, right? Put in those things into your mind on a daily basis, because a little bit goes
a long way.
On Mother's Day, Becky was given a plant. I forget what you call it now. Shucks. Okay. It looks like a daffodil, but it isn't. Anyway. I'll know it later. Some kind of lily. I don't know. All I know is this. It was this big when we got it. And then inside of a week, it was this big. Yeah. And now we're measuring it. Becky's like amazed at what it's doing. And it's growing more and more. She's like, wow, look how fast that grew. I'm like, yeah, wouldn't it be great if we had a bunch of, I'm going to call it daffodils, a bunch of daffodils in our church, that once they got Christ in them, we saw them like this, or even down here somewhere, right? A little bulb, a little seed that gets planted in you, right? And all of a sudden we look and go, wow, they don't cuss anymore. Wow. They came to a Bible study for the very first time in 20 years. Wow! They went out and served somebody out on the street. Wow! Their face is glowing now with joy. Their life isn't great, but yet they still come and worship and praise God. They never complain. What? Wow! A little bit of Christ can go a really long way, can't it? Yes. Paul said that the small amount of our troubles won't last very long. Even a small trouble, a big trouble, they don't last very long. But it produces the kind of faith and strength that will outweigh and last forever. Even in the midst of trouble, when you have a cheerful heart and a faithful heart, you're believing in God that God will supply, or whatever it is you need, God will heal, whatever it is. That little bit of faith, what size of faith do you need?
How much faith?
Right. Not much faith, and you can move a mountain. Not much Jesus, but your life will change eternally, won't it? You can start small. If anyone here doesn't know Jesus in your heart, in your mind, please get brave enough and bold enough to take that first step. Go to Jesus. Come to us as a pastor. We will baptize you. The Holy Spirit will anoint you. You'll have that living fire inside of you. And before you know it, your life will be transformed. And the things that used to be inside of you that caused you so much trouble and heartache, and maybe others, will be just sucked up by Jesus and replaced with joy, peace, and love. You want that today?
Yes.
How much Jesus do you need?
Just a little bit.
But we're going to watch you grow like a shoot and see how awesome God uses all of you to help other people understand and know that it's the love of God that's inside of us. We love all people, correct?
Yes.
We judge no one, correct?
Correct.
Because there's not a Pharisee in this room that I know of, nor do we want to be, right? And we certainly believe in the resurrection. Because look at all of us. Are we not a resurrected people?
Yes.
Surely we are. So start small, watch what God does, and we'll be watching it too. God bless you all. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to live in us, to dwell in us, to grow in us, to help us grow spiritually. We thank you, God, that you are nothing but love. And let it be love within us, God, that comes out more and more and more. Let that be the yeast that grows so that we can continue to love others so that they also will want that same kind of love that comes from you. grow this church, grow us emotionally, spiritually, physically, Lord, in every way possible, but especially grow us in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.